Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. May we learn how to turn our eyes on Jesus. It's the last Sunday of the year, the last day of the year. And I didn't think I'd have been able to share this morning, because last week, Monday night, I had a toothache. It wouldn't quit. Called the doctor, called the dentist's office. They're not open until Wednesday. Called them Wednesday. They couldn't get me in until Thursday. And all this time, I'm having a toothache. Went and I saw the dentist on Thursday. And they couldn't get my teeth numb. Finally, after a few attempts, they did get it to the place. I said, you know what? I can stand it. Go ahead. Finish what you're doing. I got home. I felt okay. I kind of slept okay that night. And then came Thursday night. Friday night. And that pain started and wouldn't stop. While everybody is sleeping, I'm up, walking around, pacing the floor. I don't know about you, but when I'm in pain, it seems that I could cope with it a little better if I'm walking around. So I get up and walk around to cope with the pain. And soon as 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, I called the dentist's office. I got an answering machine. I left a message, and the nurse calls me back. And she said, have you been taking the pain pills? I say, yes, I have been taking the pain medicine, and it's like I never went to the dentist. She said, well, try ibuprofen and alternate ibuprofen with the pain medicine. I took 800 milligrams of ibuprofen, and in about 10 minutes, the pain just started So I praised the Lord, and I said this, you know, you never know how good you have it until you lose it. Some of us don't realize how good we have it. I hope in this coming year you're going to know how good you have it. Don't wait until God touches your life with some kind of adversity or pain for you to realize how good you had it. So I'm determined that I'm going to remember how good I have it. I mean, this morning, I woke up for the first time in a week. I got a good night's sleep. When the alarm went off at 6 o'clock this morning, I couldn't believe I had slept all night. Folks, we are focusing on the minor things in our life, and it's destroying us, and we need to focus on the major things. The major thing is love. I have a question I wanted to present to you this morning, and I'm trying to just talk at you today. I don't want to preach. I'm trying hard, but if I preach, forgive me, I'm a preacher. But if someone was to place a camera in this room and was to record everything that happens in this building when we gather together, would they know who we are? And they probably will say that's a church because they hear us sing some Christian songs. They will probably say these people know about Jesus because I hear them preach the word of God. But would they really know who we are? If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew chapter 22? Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. I tell you, this morning as I was getting ready, I was thinking about how good God is. Tears were coming to my eyes, how good God is. It take a little experience as a toothache. And if they looked into this building and they saw us, would they want Christ by what they see? Would they want Christ by what they see? Another, let me bring it a little bit closer to home. If there were secret cameras in your house, hidden all around the place, and you didn't know it, and you were going to be what those reality show, but they didn't tell you you were going to be a reality, you were going to be on a reality TV, so there's no pretend. And they were to have cameras all over your house, and people of the world were to look and see what's going on in your home, would they know who you are? And when I say that, I mean, would they know you're a Christian? Would they know that you are Christ's follower? Would they want Christ by what they see? One of the ingredients I really believe that is missing in our church today is the ingredient of love. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, well-educated, wow, passed the bar and everything, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophet." We could sum up the Old Testament in two verses in the New Testament. Love God, love man. We must love God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, "But God showed his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That is the kind of love that our Father shows for us and wants us to have. John chapter 3 and verse 16, I should be able to point to anybody in this room and they should be able to quote that from memory. Because I wasn't saved when I knew that verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And God wants us to love him. Why? He first loved us. But what I want us to focus on today is our responsibility to love. The reason I ask that question, if they would know who we are, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we go again, it says, "They will know by our love." Do you all know that the world's supposed to see us, look at us, and without we saying, "I am a Christian," by the way we treat each other, they know we are Christians? By the way we love each other? What I desire for us in 2018 is that that kind of love will dwell among us. John chapter 15 and verse 8. John chapter 15 and verse 8. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I have commanded you to do." And what he commands us to do here is to love. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Love is not easy. It ain't easy at all. Because, folks, we have stuff in our lives that we ourselves don't like. and others see some of the stuff in our life that we may even like and they don't like. But God says, when the world looks in, when people outside of the faith sees how we love each other, they're going to know that you're a part of a God thing. I suspect if that camera was to be going in your home, the world will say, these people are not Christians. Even in some of the churches today, it could be here too. I don't know. You would have to judge for yourself. If that camera is running at Shalom Christian Fellowship every time we're in this building, and the world could see us, how we respond to each other, would they say that we are God followers? Would they see something that is so different that they're going to say, I want to be part of that? That's what I want God to do for us for 2018, is to develop our love for one another. Here's the thing. That doesn't mean you want the person to change. That means you're going to love the person in spite if they don't change. Because, you know, it's easy for us to love someone that we relate to. In fact, and I don't have a problem with it. Some people have a problem and they call it cliques. I don't really have a problem. Because I understand people are going to group naturally. It's going to happen. You're going to group with people who have same interests. You're going to group with people who likes the same thing like you do. Because how do you carry on a good conversation if you all don't have any interest in anything? It's harder to carry on a conversation. So I don't really go for this all this click stuff, because we're going to group naturally. You go to any event and people don't know each other. Watch after a while and you're going to see the folks that really have something in common, they usually group together. It happens. God put that in us. Sometimes the love, we have to go outside of that. But even inside of that, we could have so much pain and sorrow because we don't know how to love. John chapter 13 at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. My favorite verse on love is, love covers a multitude of sin. Now, I don't know if you all understand what a multitude is. A multitude is more than one. A multitude is more than two. A multitude is more than 10. I would think a multitude is getting up in the hundreds. And the Bible says that if we love one another, it covers a multitude of offenses. It covers a multitude of things that you may see that you think is sin. And it could be sin. The Bible says it covers a multitude of sin. I don't think we even take that as believers when we think of love, because we want love to be easy. Now, I've been watching Hallmark. My wife likes Hallmark TV. Hallmark, that's what they call it? Hallmark. My wife loves it, and last night I'm watching this show. And I said, why am I watching this? I should be watching football or something. Watching all these. I don't like football, but I didn't think the channel was very manly. So I thought of, why don't I say some kind of manly thing to watch? And guess, do you know in that story, it always ends up nice. I mean, the boy always gets the girl. They may have a little fight, but in the end, it's like happiness ever after. You get up, your eyes are full of tears. And I don't know if you ever experienced it. I experienced it last night. The feminine side of me was coming out. That's why we men don't like to watch those shows very much. We want to be tough. But you know, to show love, it's more than that. To show love is hard work. Let me give you an example. There was this guy. He loved these folks. I mean, he loved them so much. And in order to show his love, he had to do something. He knew he had to do it. His dad told him to do it. He said, do it. He obeys us. Do you know he prayed, Father, if at all possible, take this cup from me. Then he went back a second time and he prayed the same prayer again. Father, if it's all possible, take this cup from me. You'd think he'd be done there. Then he prayed it a third time. Father, if it's all possible, take this cup from me. Showing love is not easy. If you're really ready to love, you're ready to die. Because, you know, Jesus got the nails to prove it in his hands and his feet. He got the thorns on his head. You know, some of us, we'd have give up after just the whipping. We'd have give up after the thorns. We'd have even give up when the people who are close to us for 3 years has just scattered. But to truly love means to die. And I pray that in 2018, we as believers in Christ will learn how to love. We like to take the easy way out. You know, sometimes, one of the hardest things for me to do, sometimes is to admit I'm wrong, me. So, to go to ask for forgiveness because I think I'm wrong, it's hard for me. If you go ask my wife, she will confirm that. But some people, it's very easy to do. Very easy. And the reason they do it very easily, because they feel once they say, if I offended you, I ask that you forgive me. And you say yes, and they just feel it's all dandy. And then they just keep doing what they're doing over and over again because they have asked for forgiveness. If you understand what I'm saying, it's not about just what you say, it's how you do and how you live. It's the same way with love. Is you can't just say, I love you. But when you see me, you can't hug me. Or when you see me, you'd rather sit on the other side. But because we are Christians, I have to say the right thing, and you say I love you, but love is not in your heart. First Peter, chapter 3. It's chapter 4. Chapter 4. And verse 2. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. If you read this passage, you'll find that he's saying, you know, you have lived in the flesh, you have enjoyed the flesh long enough. When we look back at this year, this past year, we need to say to ourselves, you see, I have lived for the flesh long enough. I want my future to live for the will of God. That's what I want. That's what I want God to do in me. I want God to help me to focus so that I would live my future for the will of God. Because when I look back, I've lived a long time and I did a lot of things for the will of the flesh. And why is that? Verse 7. For the end of all things are near. For the end of all things are near. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. Above all things, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. How do we get to the place where we can look at somebody that has something in their life that gets under our skin and love them? How can we love somebody who has rubbed us the wrong way for a long time and continue to do so? How do we love them? How do we love somebody that every time they open their mouth, they hurt me? How do we love those type of people? We love it. We love them two ways. By staying in prayer and in God's word. The only way you can have that kind of love is spending time in the presence of God. I went to a class, and the guy, this is not a Christian class, it's a class on I can't even remember what the class was about, but I remember this statement. The guy said when he was a kid, he came home with bad grades. He said his grades came home, they were bad. And his father says, I have two choices for you. Choice number one, I could ground you, and all you're going to be doing is you come home, you do homework, and you study. That's it. All the rest of the activities are gone. Or, when you go back to school, you change your friends. He said, I went back to school and I changed my friends. He says, my grades went up. He said, as I look back today, he says, all the friends I had before, some were dead because they were shot, and some is in jail. And then he says, who do you want to be like? You spend time with them. Who do you want to be like? Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to have the same kind of love that Jesus have for us, and we can give that same love to one another. The key is, spend time with Jesus. Through prayer and his word. I used to raise pigeons for a short while. Love pigeons. I had a little shack in the back. I kept the pigeons in, and it had a trap door. The pigeon could go in, but it can't come out. And when we first caught a pigeon and it wasn't ours, we would take feathers off one side of the pigeon, the wing. And guess what? That pigeon would just hop around the cage and he ain't going anywhere. Why? He couldn't fly. But as soon as that pigeon developed good wings, I would take that pigeon to school with me and I'd let it go. And guess where that pigeon would fly? Straight back home. It spent so much time there that it wanted to be there. But here's what the illustration really is. You need both wings to fly. Some of us are very good in reading the word and spend no time in prayer. You're not going to be able to love like Jesus loved. Because when I read the word, I see Jesus always finding some kind of time to be with his Father, to talk to the Father. So, if you want to love like Jesus loved, here's what you have to do. Spend some time with the man you want to be like. You know, I've probably said this a million times. And as my mother would say, go through one ear and come out the next. But I pray that God is going to put a stopper in between. And you're going to hear, spend time in God's word and spend time in prayer so you can be what Jesus wants you to be, a lover of his people. Folks, the ingredients is missing. The ingredient is missing. We are too easily offended because we don't know how to love. We have not died. So for 2018, my prayer is that the kind of love we have here among ourselves, in spite of who we are, in our homes, in spite of who we are, people is going to look in and they're going to see, I want some of that. I want to be part of what's going on because I see a love and I can't explain it. And then they'll come to you and say, how can you love that person? And you will say, the love of God in my heart. And you can have that same love. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen? I want God to change me. I want to turn my eyes to watch Jesus. Because the things on this level is going to go dim. Father, we want to thank you for blessing us and bringing us through another year. We want to thank you, Lord God, that today marks a milestone that 2017 is behind. And we could look now forward to 2018. And Father, we pray, God, that you would help us, as you say, to keep your commandments and to love. Lord God, let that love be in our hearts, be in our minds, and be in the forefront of everything that we do. Lord, we understand that it's not going to be easy. And loving could be difficult. But we thank you that while we were still doing the things that you didn't like, and while we are still doing the things you don't like, you love us. Father, help us to have the same kind of love to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I pray that you all will go and be blessed.